Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the Zion Mule Corps. Now, Zion means in Jewish, it's from Palestine. And the Mule Corps was the actual fact the first ever Jewish military unit, apparently, since AD 70, after the Romans had sort of disbanded any sort of military unit associated with Israel, apparently so. Now, how did I get to this piece of information? What's so interesting about it? The interesting thing, I think, for me is that the Jewish story is so well, it's not so well told. It is you're more aware of it. There's many more people telling you, either through the Christian version, because it is a necessary backdrop for the Christian story, or through retelling in movies and stuff like that. So when you find out other information, it's really, really fascinating. And it sort of fits in certain places. Now, in this case, the Turkish people, the Turks, had taken the Palestine area under the Ottoman Empire. I don't quite understand how exactly that works, but it was under the Ottoman rule, the area, and the Jewish people, the area, were oppressed, and the British were able to use a group of people to steal mules from the Turkish people and actually bring it across for the British operations. And so the Mule Corps was associated with the Gallipoli landings, and it was an exclusively Jewish military unit in associated with the British Army. I expect it had a we do know from that it did have a Star of David emblem. So a very, very interesting aspect. I am very much aware from reading unfiltered books and pamphlets from the area that there was a lot of anti-Semitism in the British Empire at that stage. So it was interesting to see. Now, I'll talk a little bit about how I found this information out. So I found a book in the Penrith Library. The Penrith Library is now closed due to COVID-19. We've shut down all the libraries, all swimming pools, everything. And I did take this book up about Gallipoli. It looked like a fairly good book about Gallipoli. And I sort of read Encyclopedia of Gallipoli, and we'll give it away. But when I first opened it up, the very first chapter was all to do with A, and it was A there, and I could say, oh, well, this is getting a bit of a forward to give you some information. And then I looked forward, B, and then I flicked to Z. So Z, the last Z of Lippi, was Zion, the Zion Mule Corps, and began to read it, and I thought, oh, I'll note that away. And there were various things I was able to look up at various people, and as it's a very interesting story, way to read it, because you read a letter and you go in and you just read before very long, incredible bravery. People from, you've got to remember that the people at Gallipoli, a lot of them were born in 1880, so you know, it's really hard to get your mind around. So in terms of thinking, the way they were structured, it was, you know, really early on. I'll explain to our international viewers what the Gallipoli campaign is. It's sort of, Australians know it as the very first major conflict of World War One. And then we did a whole lot of trench work in France and came home. We also sort of split up. We also had horse units and infantry units in Egypt and Palestine, looking after the Suez Canal and that area there. So my discovery of it was by reading this journal, thing, which I discovered stupidly that it was an encyclopedia. Now, for me, it's interesting in that the information particular information taken out of the case, you can read more things into it than if it's a constructed story where there has a hero, a message behind everything. It's more free flow information. There was a small little information about the British. So this bit of land that the Dardanelles, this fairly small bit of land. So we sort of landed, the Australians landed on this curvature of this bit of land, and this bit of land's about 30 kilometres long and 5 kilometres wide. So it's you know, I don't know, you could possibly, modern guns could shell across into the Straits. So this spit of land, and on the tip of this spit of land, it's like a finger. If you imagine a finger, you little hold your little finger out of your right hand, at the bottom of your finger, the British landed at Helliers. This is a village up there. And just reading it, you pick up a few things. The British didn't have any artillery and couldn't move the artillery up, and the French couldn't move the artillery up, so they were basically fighting the Turkish people without artillery. And then they got naval guns, but the naval guns had low trajectory, and these sorts of things you don't know about this. And they let the Turkish dig trenches right in front of them, because they didn't fire, because they thought the dark-skinned Turkish were Indian colonials. All this very sort of bizarre mistakes get woven up in the overall legend. And so part of the legend is the Australians who had the Zion Mule Corps with it. And it is significant in that they're just some incredibly oppressed. Now, I want to do a few stories here. One of the basic things is to try and explain to people overseas what's happening in World War One. At the start of World War One, I think the Germans were really modernised, and they were understood the mechanized or the warfare at a certain level. They had good tactics. And they had an industrial view of communications and links, and they had the Schlieffen Plan, which was to try and break through. And they had two fronts, the front with the Russians and the front with the French. And, of course, the French the French were seen, at least by the United States, as the top army. And so there was a bit of a shock when France didn't do too well. So France was a very modern advanced army. And the old man Turkey was collapsing for a long while, so it had a large amount. And so as a sort of you had Russia's unstable, Turkey was unstable. And the British run their gunboats up to Constantinople and make them give up. So if you look at the top of Turkey, there's a Black Sea behind it, and there's the Bosphorus Strait, and there's narrows into a little sea, and then goes into the big Black Sea, and at that point it closes up again just before it goes into the Black Sea, and that's Constantinople. And the British was thinking, oh, well, look, we'll just send our navy up there and blow the stuffing out of them. So that to go through a set of straits, and the north of the straits are the Dardanelles. And the Dardanelles is a little finger of land where Europe comes up, and Turkey is beneath them on either side. So the Turkey sort of could see this happening, and so laid very heavy mines and ships in the way, and British ships went up to blow the stuffing out and were stopped by these mines and howitzers and stuff like that. And so this is the old world, big diplomacy, big sort of arrows on maps. So the Turks went to cut the Suez Canal, which would have cut off British access to the Mediterranean, and they were stopped. stop going to the Suez Canal, and to sort of get them to pull back, they decided that they would do another grand map scale. Well, this is a time where maps, your reconnaissance was opening up an atlas and having a look at an atlas and not actually getting the terrain and equipping people and stuff like that. So it's significant also that they had the they had no idea that they were going to have casualties and how to man the casualties. And so when the Australians first landed, they had so many casualties, they just filled up the ships. And I suppose one of the things is that they had the ships full of Australian casualties, and at one end they were amputating, and the other end they were in horse feces, because they were civilian ships which were used to transport horses around the place. And also the Mule Corps. And the Mule Corps obviously is important, that you have the Australian legend of Simpsons and its donkeys. The donkey was provided courtesy of the Zionist Mule Corps. So this is a rather interesting interesting aspect. So there's so many mark-ups. Now, Australia, the width of the beach was 2 kilometres width. Oh, that'll be nice. I'll go with it now. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.